All right, Lecture 10 of the Staying Connected, Selected Talks and Meditations by Rudolf Steiner. Again, these are edited lectures. This is Lecture 10, which was given in Berlin on March 19th, 1918. It's called The Feeling of Community and the Experience of Gratitude and the Introduction. I believe this is all by Christopher Bamford, but I'm not sure. Yeah, introduced by Christopher Bamford. The dead already live. The future conditions of human existence, which Steiner calls quote-unquote Jupiter existence. This makes their functioning somewhat more difficult to understand than the spiritual beings whose nature we can understand, in a certain sense, by reading descriptions of them. Nevertheless, communion with the dead is possible, and since we are also preparing for our future conditions, such communication is part of our evolutionary task. From this point of view, the first capacity to be acquired is a quote, feeling of community, unquote, with everything that exists. This feeling of community with the world must become a concrete experience in our lives. We must come to realize that we leave our mark on all that we encounter, and that we remain connected in our subconscious with everything with which we come into contact. This fact also underlies karma. It provides the basis for our general feeling of community with the world. We are able to have this feeling because we have left our mark everywhere. As we become aware of this, we also become conscious of the invisible bond that unites all things. This feeling of community with everything is fundamental for both Jupiter existence and the life of the dead. For the most part, we lack any real sense of this today. We live primarily for ourselves. We have no sense that the welfare of the individual, when it has nothing to do with the welfare of the community, has no justification. This must become the fundamental principle of ethics. We are all connected. We must begin to understand the sense in which humanity constitutes a single organism. If we can begin to understand this, to develop a sense of community, we can begin to live with others as if they were ourselves. The ability to attune so closely to another that we can think, feel, and imagine acting as they do is a great aid in establishing the larger community of the living and the dead. One way to do this is to re-experience a shared event from the other's point of view. Only from this place of community can the dead bring themselves into our consciousness, for they can speak only toward this, quote, place of community, unquote. Of course, it is necessary to hear what they speak as they speak it. For this, Rudolf Steiner tells us we must pay attention to the, quote, unquote, air between us and the dead. There must be a medium, an intermediary. The creation of this medium can begin with a mood of gratitude. Subconsciously, we already experience this sense of gratitude for every impression life brings us. Subconsciously, we receive each impression as a gift. We must pay attention to this sense of gratitude beneath the surface of our consciousness. As we do this, we begin to realize that the sense of gratitude is linked to the awareness that we are dreaming all the time. Beneath waking life, dream life continues. And through this dream element, the dead can begin to speak. They speak into the, quote, intimate subconscious perceptions that occur on their own, unquote, for which we must be grateful, and which, in a sense, we discover through the practice of gratitude itself. Ultimately, in fact, we are led to the conviction that all of life is a gift. Within our conviction that life is a gift, the dead find a sure and common ground with us. Hence, we cannot find and develop the feeling of gratitude the dead read that again. Hence, if we cannot find and develop the feeling of gratitude, the dead cannot find us. The Feeling of Community and the Experience of Gratitude, given in Berlin, March 19th, 1918. Ellipsis. We always have a relationship to the spiritual world, and we always have a certain relationship with those among the dead who are karmically united with us. Nevertheless, it is one thing to speak of the reality of such a relationship, and another to speak of the degree of awareness we may have in relation to it. It is important for everyone, even those who feel quite remote from any awareness of such a relationship, to experience what those who have this consciousness speak of, because they are realities that always surround us. We must clearly understand, however, that the relationship between the so-called living and the so-called dead is in some ways more difficult to bring to awareness than is our relationship to other beings of the spiritual world. Through seeing inwardly, it is easier to become aware of beings of the higher hierarchies. and even to find them distinctly revealed, then to become aware of a definitive relationship with those who have died, that is, to become truly conscious of them in the right way. This is because between death and rebirth we pass through states that are very different from our life's relationships in the physical world. Just look at the course of lectures on the life between death and rebirth. You can see that in speaking of life after death we must use thoughts and concepts that are quite different from those we apply to the physical world. Footnote: Rudolf Steiner, The Inner Nature of Man and the Life Between Death and Rebirth, London, Rudolf Steiner Press, 1994. These have been read onto tape, as a matter of fact. Why must they be so different? Because between death and rebirth, we anticipate, as it were, certain conditions that will manifest as conditions of life only during the Earth's next embodiment, the phase of cosmic evolution termed Jupiter. During our evolutionary stage, a person's experiences between death and rebirth anticipate the life conditions of the Jupiter stage of evolution, though in a form more subtle and spiritualized. In our present earthly lives, we retain something of the Earth's earlier moon, sun, and Saturn embodiments. Likewise, during our life between death and rebirth, we receive something that is part of the future. The beings of the higher hierarchies, on the other hand, to the degree that we can examine them with human perception, are naturally united, immediately and presently, with the whole spiritual world as it now passes through a particular form. In the future, they will reveal the future. Although this may sound contradictory, it is a fact. It sounds paradoxical, because we must ask, how can the beings of the higher hierarchies actively affect the dead, if the dead already bear something of the future within themselves? Of course, the beings of the higher hierarchies also carry something of the future within themselves and are able to shape it. But they also shape something that is immediately characteristic of the present. Therefore, a perception of what the higher hierarchies accomplish constitutes a preparation for becoming aware of communication with those who have died. Not until we have brought about a more or less conscious perception in our soul of the beings of the higher hierarchies will it be possible for us gradually to become conscious through our faculties of perception and feeling of anything having to do with communication with the dead. I do not mean that we must become aware of the higher hierarchies in a clairvoyant way, but we must understand what flows into existence from them to the degree that spiritual science makes this possible. In all these things, it is our understanding that is primary. If we take the trouble to understand the hierarchies through spiritual science, conditions of existence can certainly arise that call up something like a union of the so-called living with the so-called dead. If we wish to understand this, however, we must remember that the spiritual world, in which human beings dwell between death and rebirth, has its own special conditions of existence, conditions we can scarcely imagine in our ordinary earthly lives. They sound strange and paradoxical when presented to us as part of a general picture. Mostly, we must remember that one who wishes to experience such things with awareness must acquire something we might call a feeling of community with everything in existence, a requirement for our continued spiritual evolution from our own disastrous time on, is that we gradually develop this feeling of community with all that exists. A lower variation of this feeling is well established in the human subconscious. We must not, however, chatter pantheistically about some quote-unquote universal spirit. We must not speak of some general feeling of unity. We must be clear, concrete, and specific about how to speak of it, and how it is gradually established in the soul, because this feeling of unity is an experience in life. We often hear that criminals, in whom instinctive subconsciousness works very strongly, have a peculiar urge after committing a crime. They are drawn back to the scene of the crime. A vague feeling drives them to return. This phenomenon reveals a common human trait. When we have accomplished something, regardless of how unimportant it seems, some part of what we have learned during the process remains in us. Some of the forces with which we acted remain connected with the I. This cannot be put any other way, though the way I put it, of course, is only a kind of imagination. We cannot avoid forming certain connections with all the beings we meet and the things we take up, not only physical things, naturally. I am speaking of the things we have some relationship to in life. We each leave our distinctive mark on everything we encounter, and a feeling of connection with those things we have contacted through our actions remains in our subconscious. For criminals, this is expressed abnormally, because their subconscious flashes up very instinctively into ordinary consciousness. But all of us sense in our subconscious that we must return to those places we have encountered through our activities. This, too, is basic to our karma, which arises from it. From this subconscious feeling, at first only nebulous, we have a general feeling of community with the world. We feel this way because we leave our mark everywhere. We can comprehend this feeling, sense it, and perceive it. First, however, we must pay attention to certain intimacies of life. For example, when about to cross a street, we must try to really go into the idea, I am now crossing a street. Then, once we have walked across the street, we continue to imagine ourselves crossing it. By continued exercises like this, we evoke from the depths of our soul a general feeling of community with the world. As consciousness of this feeling of community grows more concrete, it will continue to develop so that eventually one thinks there really is a connection, though invisible, between all things, a connection like that between the members of a single organism. Just as the finger, the earlobes, and indeed every part of our organism are connected with each other, there is also a connection between everything and every event in our world. Modern earthly humanity does not yet have a fully valid consciousness of this feeling of community with all things, an organic penetration into phenomena. It remains unconscious. But in the Jupiter stage of evolution, this feeling will be fundamental, and we are preparing for this as we pass gradually from the fifth to the sixth post-Atlantean era. But this feeling of community must be cultivated now and in the immediate future. It must begin to provide morals and ethics with a definite foundation, morals much more actively related to daily life than today. I mean, for example, that many people today think nothing of enriching themselves at the expense of others. Not only do they live like this with no moral self-criticism, but they simply do not give it a thought. If people were to reflect upon it, they would discover that they live far more at the cost of others than they ever realized. In fact, every one of us lives at the expense of others. In the future, the consciousness will arise that living life at the expense of others has the same effect on a community that an organ has on the body when it develops inappropriately at the expense of another organ. People will realize that individual welfare is really impossible apart from the welfare of the community. Today, of course, there is no inkling of this, but it must gradually become the fundamental principle of true human ethics. Today, people all strive for their own welfare, never thinking that essentially individual welfare is possible only in common with that of everyone else. Thus, there is a connection between the feeling of community I've mentioned and the feeling that the life of the whole community is an organism. The feeling of the whole community as an organism can be enhanced greatly and lead to an intimate feeling of community with all that surrounds us. By enhancing this intimate feeling, we gradually gain the ability to perceive what I described in the previous lecture as the light shining out beyond death into our evolution between death and rebirth, a light we perceive and with which we build our karma. Footnote: that lecture was given in Berlin on March 5, 1918, and is unavailable in English. End of footnote. I want to give a mere hint of this. When we develop this feeling of community, we can do something else as well. We can live with the idiosyncrasies, situations, and thoughts and actions of others as though they were our own. This is related to a certain difficulty in the soul life, one of attuning our thoughts so closely to another, that whatever the other does, thinks, and feels is felt as our own experience. And we are ready to reach the discarnate individual only when we are able to think back fruitfully to what we had in common with the one to whom we were karmically united. This can happen only when we are able to re-experience what we experienced in common with the other soul, even the slightest detail, and to think of it as one thinks when one has this feeling of community. We can picture it this way. We think of something that took place between ourselves and one who has died, how we sat at a table with that person or whatever, no matter how insignificant. But the possibility of entering this experience in the right way so that we get through to the reality will only come to our soul when it is truly suffused with that feeling of community. It will lack the necessary strength otherwise. We must understand that the dead can bring themselves into our consciousness only from a place over which we have cast this, quote, feeling of community, unquote. We can imagine this spatially. However, we must, of course, remain aware that we are forming only an image of it, but that this image is a picture of a reality. Going back to what I said before, We visualize a situation in which we were together with the one who died, how we sat at table with that person, or how we talked together. Turn your whole soul life toward this thought. If in thought we can develop a soul communion with the dead that is in harmony with the, quote, feeling of community, unquote, then our gaze toward the spiritual world can find its way from these thoughts to the reality, just as our thoughts find the reality to which they are directed. If you allow these loving thoughts of the dead person to permeate your soul, then your inward gaze can encounter that soul's gaze. In this way, the one who has died can speak